I am the unknown soldier. Some call me MIA. Some say I can't go home again. Some say I chose to stay. I am the unknown soldier who you refuse to know. A brother and a friend of yours who left so long ago. Some call me POW, the one they left behind. I am the unknown soldier, the one they never tried to find. I'm the one they never tried to find. I'm a farmer from Missouri, the soldier from St. Paul. I was the hero of my family, and still my picture's upon their wall. I'm a poet and a scholar, and the boy who lived next door. I am the unknown soldier, forgotten on a foreign shore, long forgotten on a foreign shore. I was someone's loving daddy, I was someone's pride and joy, I was someone's tender lover, a worried mama's a little boy. And if you should just forget me here, then should I forget you too? Please won't you try to bring me home, for I'm someone who belongs to you. I'm still someone who belongs to you. I am the unknown soldier with no more tears to shed. I'm just a fading memory, a part of the living dead. My country has betrayed me, yet I have forgiven you. And every night I pray to God somehow he'll forgive you too. Yes, even somehow he'll forgive you too. I am the unknown soldier, the one for whom you cried. That familiar face that you can't face, the one your country told you died. I am the unknown soldier, with dreams you'll rescue me. And I am a man who understands only death might ever set me free. Only death might ever set me free. I am the unknown soldier, and I'm black and blue and gray. I said I am the unknown soldier, and I die slowly every day. And I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and I'm lonely, and I'm cold. I am the unknown soldier, the one you bought and sold. I'm the one you bought and sold. So lay down close beside me now, and gently stroke my face, and wrap your arms around me now, before we leave this place. Some called me POW, some called me MIA. Some say I can't come home again, but I will return someday.
Terrible Tommy here at Lone Wolf Central. How about that? And it is the 6th of April, 2017. And today we memorialize the beginning of the bloodbath of the First World War, initiated by that son of a bitch Wilson, after he'd run for office and won, promised that he wouldn't take their sons to war. But immediately after he got into office, he and Emanuel House and all those Jews and so forth maneuvered him into the war, of which he thought would be the war to end all wars. No wars end all wars. It isn't going to happen, baby. As long as there's a big profit in war, and people can make a lot of money and gain a lot of power, they're going to go to war. But at least you should know, you should know why you're going to war. You should know all that stuff, but you don't, because they don't tell you. They propagandize you and lie to you, tell you fighting for your country. What the hell did World War I have to do with fighting for the USA? It wasn't even our war. A couple of million people died, white people. White people died, just like always. And that's why you hear me cursing and crabbing about these presidents that people emulate and reciprocate and respect and give homage to and all that bullshit, and build statues to them, name airports and highways after them. They don't deserve it. They do not deserve it. They lie to get you into war and get you killed. Now we've been in continuous wars for decades, and they're still selling the bullshit that you're fighting for liberty and freedom and your country and all that nonsense. It would be pretty cool if it was true. You can't even save your race. You're not going to war to save your race. You're going to war to screw your race. That's what's going on. I believe in one battle over there in Europe, I believe it was 1 million men died, just like Stalingrad. Do we ever learn? Do we ever learn? No, we don't learn. We're not learning now because they're getting ready for hostilities in Asia with China and North Korea. And now they're stoking up the fires to go after Syria, Assad, and I'll bet you anything that he had nothing to do with dropping that sarin gas. What would he have to gain? What would he have to gain? So when you hear some horror story coming out of Washington, like I put on my computer this morning, 85% of the time it's a lie. So when something's 85% a lie, you learn not to believe them at all, anytime. And look at the way these Republicans and Democrats are going after each other, over power, greed, and so forth. Not for the good of the country, certainly not good for the white race. So, but the people deserve it. They deserve it. Because, as I always say, if you don't listen, you'll have to feel. And they don't listen. So they're going to feel again and again and again. So 100 years from now, they'll talk about the war that's probably getting ready to begin right now. Another Asian war. All the generals and admirals are all in for it. They're moving more and more material and warships into the area right outside China. And they're going to try to bug Russia, too, on this Assad deal in Syria. They're linking him into with Syria. He's Syria. And you got Iran, and you got Russia. and the boys in the Pentagon are desperately trying to maneuver us into hostilities with all three of those countries. It's going to happen. Well, let's probe the FBI a little bit here. They probe us all the time. Yeah, all the time. They got thousands of informants out there. I remember a few years ago when they started recruiting housewives and everybody else to be snitches. Nobody likes a snitch. Well, some people do, I guess. I hate snitches. I've had my experiences with snitches and informants quite a few times. They're a despicable, crummy, lousy bunch of people for money to sell out their friends, because most of these people make friends with the people they're going to do in. They always try to make me a good friend. They always wanted to be my friend. They do all kinds of things to be my friend. At the same time, they were trying to figure out how to put me in federal prison. Using loopholes it has kept secret for years, the FBI can, in certain circumstances, bypass its own rules in order to send undercover agents or informants into political and religious organizations, as well as schools, clubs, and businesses. If the FBI had its way, the infiltration loopholes would still be secret. They are detailed in a mammoth document obtained by Intercept, an uncensored version of the Bureau's governing rulebook, the Domestic Investigations and Operation Guide, or DIOG. The 2011 edition of the book, which covers everything from wiretapping to how to read Miranda rights, was made public in a redacted form thanks to a lawsuit brought by civil liberties groups. You know, most of those people are on the left, so what are you going to do? Beneath the FBI's redaction marks were exceptions to rules on undisclosed participation that could be easy to exploit. The FBI rules show a significant level of oversight when it comes to looking into sensitive groups, namely those with religious, political, or academic affiliations. For instance, if an undercover agent wants to pose as a university student and take classes, or if an FBI handler wants to tell an informant to attend religious services, two examples straight out of the rule book, he or she must obtain a supervisor's approval and attest both to the operation's importance and to its compliance with constitutional safeguards. But all those rules go out the window if an agent decides the group is illegitimate or an informant spies on the group of his or her own accord. The FBI insists that supervisors regularly review agents' work to make sure these exceptions aren't being misused, and that the extra steps and approvals detailed in the guide are proof that the Bureau has voluntarily limited its authorities beyond what it believes to be the legal minimum. An FBI spokesman said that a provision in the DIOG encourages agents to err on the side of considering something sensitive if there's any doubt. This is all bullshit. Quote, that discretion will be part of our regular case review. Agents will be asked, hey, why is it that sensitive investigative matter? The spokesman said. But civil rights groups still worry that the FBI has made use of precisely these kinds of loopholes, silently undermining cherished freedoms enshrined after a dark chapter of FBI history, the COINTELPRO program in the 50s and 60s. And believe me, boys and girls, I lived through that. I know all about that COINTELPRO deal. When the FBI spied on, harassed, and tried to discredit leftists, civil rights leaders, and anti-war protesters, but they don't include right-wing extremists or racists or KKK or anything like that. They started following me around back in 1972 when I went to a Christian identity demonstration in Oceanside, California. And I have all the paperwork to prove it. The exposure of COINTELPRO led to a famous Senate investigation and to institutional reform. The Bureau adopted new rules and a stricter oversight. You know, you got to give it to some Jews because the guy that really put the clamps on a lot of this stuff was the Levy Attorney General. And he created the Levy Guidelines, which really cut down and put the FBI in their place for a long time. Before that, there was Frank Church. He did a good job, too. Since 9/11, however, these hard-worn protections have been weakened. What the public has not known is by exactly how much. Going into political gatherings, houses of worship, these are First Amendment-protected activities, said Farhana Kira, the executive director of Muslim Advocates, a group that originally sued to have the rule book released, particularly over the concerns about the issue of undercover infiltration. Quote, "We believe that the DIOG to be broadening of their authority to go into these spaces," unquote. The FBI sees it exactly the other way. These are voluntarily narrowing of our authorities. We learn from history and try to get better, the spokesman said. The FBI openly acknowledges that some of its undercover operations can be intrusive, no shit, and carry a greater risk to civil liberties, and therefore that they may require higher levels of approval or legal review. The requirements for a particular operation vary depending on how intimately the FBI employee or informant will be involved with the group and what kind of group it is. Now, don't forget, this don't apply in your situation, boys and girls. They're going to give them an okay anytime they want to infiltrate you, any of your groups, any of the right-wing racial groups. So you don't get covered under this civil rights thing. The FBI distinguishes between sensitive, undisclosed participation in political, religious, media, or academic groups and non-sensitive, undisclosed participation in groups such as a business or a club formed for recreational purposes. That's what I had. I had a club formed for recreational purposes. Yeah, I did. They serve tea and crumpets at every meeting and said a prayer to Odin. The once censored rules explain that for non-sensitive groups, a supervising agent must sign off if the plan is for an FBI agent to infiltrate a group in order to gain information or as part of an investigation. How are you going to infiltrate a lone wolf who understands the 4-5 words? "I have nothing to say, Mr. FBI man." An informant doing the same thing does not require extra approval. If the participation of the FBI agent or informant will influence the group's activities, then the head counsel for the division needs to review the plan. Oh, yeah. If the FBI's presence is specifically likely to influence the group's First Amendment-protected activity, if, as the guide specifies, the FBI participant plans to steer the group's agenda on social, religious, or political issues, then the FBI's Office of General Counsel must get involved, and perhaps the senior FBI officials. Yeah, like they set up all these guys meet them in bars and talk them into bullshit and get them to enter into a conspiracy, supply them with the alleged bombs, and then at the last minute jump on them. People who had not planned or hadn't even thought of bombing anybody. This is what they do. You know it. I know it. Of course, not all of them. Some of them are guilty. But most of them are coaxed into it or led into it. I've seen it happen dozens of times personally. I've seen it happen. So don't tell me they don't do that. The requirements for infiltrating a group considered sensitive are even more stringent. I guess that's us. But they're not more stringent, I'll tell you that. You think Obama would hold back the FBI when it comes to people like us? Shit. The FBI agent must get approval both from a supervisor and from a head lawyer of his or her division, who's also a member of the B'nai B'rith, while also notifying a committee that oversees FBI operations. And if the intention or likelihood is that this infiltration will influence a sensitive group's exercise of his First Amendment rights, then the FBI director must sign off. Ha 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 ha! This is getting more funny all the time. These rules appear to offer layers of oversight. Yeah, they're checking them out. We don't want those boys to do anything wrong. Well, what's wrong is not infiltrate and screw with racist groups, according to their logic. But they only kick in when certain conditions are met. The policy guide gives agents considerable discretion in deciding whether infiltrating an organization constitutes undisclosed participation at all, and therefore whether it requires the extra approvals. For instance, none of the rules apply if a foreign government operates the organization, or if the FBI reasonably believes that the organization to be acting on behalf of a foreign power. I think that's the U.S. government operating on a foreign behalf of a foreign power, Israel. So long as its U.S.-based members are mostly foreigners, and the rules only apply to groups the FBI deems legitimate. Wow. Hell, I don't even think the FBI is legitimate. I know it's not legitimate. And the rules only apply to groups the FBI deems legitimate. The redacted definition of a legitimate group is one formed for lawful purposes and whose activities are primarily lawful. Well, when the Levy guidelines were involved back in the 70s, they figured a way to get around all this oversight. They developed an organization called LEIA, Law Enforcement Investigative Service, or something like that. And it was off the books. And the way it was set up was two people in every major police department were members. No rank and file were involved or allowed. Then they went about setting up computers in private buildings and garages all over the country to keep all this information out of the hands of investigators. I mean, truly, true investigators. They called one of those guys before investigating committee once, I remember. And they asked him point blank, how do you determine who's a terrorist? And the guy straight out said, well, a terrorist is whoever we deem is a terrorist. A terrorist is whoever we say is a terrorist. An honest man, you know. Those were the days. Those were the days, my friend. Way back when the Minutemen were running around and they were going on the job and harassing people who are involved in the Minuteman organization. They wouldn't catch you off work and outside your workplace. They'd love to go right into your workplace and cause you problems with your boss. Probably lose your job. That was the way they did it. They infiltrated the media. The media was full of both CIA and FBI. They tell you CIA don't operate in the United States. Horse shit. They operate wherever they want to. An organization whose primary purpose is to engage in the destruction of property as a means of bring public attention to commercial activities that harm the environment is also not a legitimate organization within the meaning of this definition, because its primary purpose is to engage in criminal conduct. I don't call saving the environment and many other activities like that in any way criminal. But they decide what's criminal. Whatever they don't like is what's criminal. On the other hand, an organization that seeks to bring attention to a social or political cause by engaging primarily in lawful protest or advocacy, but also some acts of civil disobedience, is a legitimate organization. Are you rolling the aisle? Are you rolling the aisle? All you old-timers out there, are you rolling in the aisles? The new guys haven't gone through this. Lots of them haven't gone through this. But you old farts, you know how they play the game and how they still play the game, and they'll always play the game that way. Michael German, a former FBI agent who is a fellow with the Brennan Center for Justice at the New York University School of Law, said that such language gives agents wiggle room to justify themselves if they are found to have been improperly investigating an organization. Oh, they wouldn't do that. Quote, it's not that you can't ever investigate a legitimate organization. It's just that it requires an additional level of oversight because of the history of the abuse, unquote. Going back to the Palmer raids back in the early part of the last century. If you haven't read about the Palmer raids, read about them. The trouble is, the right wing always celebrates and has a beer when the left wing gets it. And the left wing always celebrate and have a beer when the right wing gets it, when they should agree on one thing. Our main enemy is right there in Washington, D.C., and it's these groups like the FBI and the CIA and so forth. So do we really want to have agents parsing the language of what's legitimate and what isn't legitimate without that oversight? Classifying constitutionally protected activities, well, that's bullshit, as illegitimate is not a distant possibility. The Constitution is not just a piece of paper. Yeah. It's used only when the crooks need to use it to protect their ass. Otherwise, it means nothing. There have been many recent examples of the FBI twisting or ignoring the rules in order to investigate political or religious groups. In 2010, to take just one example, a Justice Department Inspector General found that the FBI had violated policy in investigating groups including the Catholic Worker, left-wing, Greenpeace, environmental, and People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Don't see anything about the people that are working to save the white race. Documents released last year show that the Bureau tracked Keystone Pipeline protesters without proper authorization. But of course, wherever there's something like this comes up where people are pissed off at the government, they're going to be there infiltrating as much as they can. The FBI has also generated legal controversy with its use of informants in mosques. The definition of what constitutes participation is also flexible in the FBI's reading. It was previously known that the FBI agents and informants could go to public events without identifying themselves, and attend up to 5 meetings of an organization without triggering the undisclosed participation rules. And in 5 meetings, they probably could set up 2 or 3 guys or girls. Although sending an informant or an employee to a religious service always requires a supervisor's approval, the guide states. Another loophole allows that if an informant volunteers information about a group without having been asked to collect it, FBI agents don't have to worry about whether the informant obtained the information through undisclosed participation. Wow, they wouldn't do that. And although the rules require legal review if the FBI employee or informant's participation is intended to influence a group, oh no, they never join in the planning of anything. I could tell you of dozens of times when informants have tried that with me. And they always want to be your best buddy. What constitutes influencing is narrowly defined. A source or undercover employee simply voting or expressing an opinion does not count when it comes to First Amendment concerns. The FBI's activities must substantially affect the agenda of the organization in order to raise flag. Well, they wouldn't be in there if they didn't want to arrest somebody. Don't give me that shit. They're not in there just to act as a CIA thermometer. There are certain caveats that go in a more restrictive direction. For instance, the rules specify that joining a mailing list or following a group on Twitter does constitute participation, and that agents are supposed to err on the side of caution when determining whether or not a group is legitimate, unquote, or whether having undercover agents participate in group activities is sensitive. I'll guarantee you every right-wing group in this country is infiltrated. Every left-wing group is infiltrated. And they're always working around the edges trying to suck you in. Tarek Ismail, senior staff attorney with CLEAR, an initiative at the City University of New York that works with communities affected by counterterrorism policy, said that the breadth of these exceptions elaborated in the DIOG demonstrates, quote, broad rules created and then chipped away, unquote. Tarek Ismail, this is a late-coming Muslim. Now he's leading a big organization. He added that rules' apparent flexibility made sense of the experiences of many of his clients. There is a disconnect between what's on paper and what's actually done, Ismail said. We see significant departures from these rules in our cases, but clearly it's not because these rules are hard to live with. The DIOG, despite being hundreds of pages of dense bureaucracy, actually documents a loosening of the standards enacted to rein in FBI after COINTELPRO. Ronald Reagan was in on that, him and Attorney General of California, Ed Meese. They developed Operation Garden Plot, which was a way of infiltrating and setting people up. They tried it out on the Indians at Wounded Knee. That was a test case for them, and it worked quite well. Anyhow, and other scandals involving the Bureau under Director J. Edgar Hoover. Quote, the baseline that we started from in the 70s was that there were no rules governing the FBI. That's for damn sure, said Emily Berman, a law professor at the University of Houston. The fallout from COINTELPRO resulted in new guidelines from the Attorney General that reined in domestic intelligence gathering by requiring that agents' investigations be focused on actual criminal activity. Yet in the decades since, and specifically after the 9/11 attacks, the Bureau's mandate has expanded again beyond the realm of crime fighting and toward intelligence gathering in the name of combating terrorism. The FBI, which has no single statute governing its activities, has operated under a series of guidelines issued by attorneys generals over the years. The DIOG first came out in the last months of the Bush administration in 2008, implementing guidelines from the Attorney General Michael Mukasey. Mukasey emphasized intelligence gathering and the retention of information, quote, regardless of whether it furthers investigative objectives in a narrow or more immediate sense, unquote. He cited the historical evolution of the FBI after the 9/11 attacks towards the elimination of the traditional wall between foreign intelligence and domestic law enforcement. I bet a lot of you people don't know where J. Edgar Hoover came from. See, there was no FBI. This came out of a group, was a security force for U.S. Steel. And they brought him over and he built up the FBI. But it started as a capitalist force, mostly to break strikes. And they like to do that. Beat up the white working man, or any working man that gets in their way. At the time, civil liberties groups were alarmed that Mukasey's rules, known as the Attorney General's Guidelines for Domestic FBI Operations, broadened the authority of the FBI to collect and retain more data than ever before, and allowed for assessments in which agents could probe for information without evidence of wrongdoing. Some of the tactics authorized for assessments were quite invasive. You can say that again. Allowing for physical surveillance, interviews, and the tasking of informants to collect information. An example of this was when we had our first skinhead music gathering up in east of San Francisco, way out in the middle of nowhere, with permission from the owners of the land, not bothering anybody. The FBI actually came up there close to where we were at and moved a family out of a house and turned it into their headquarters to watch us and film us and everything else. They had guys on horses, agents on horses up on the hills above us, and they directly threatened us if anybody lifted a hand or an arm in the wrong way, they'd shoot us with telescopic sights on their rifles. And that was just for a music gathering. So you begin to see how really, really, really rotten these sons of bitches are. And they don't talk about this kind of stuff because nobody gave a shit what they did to us. The left wing didn't care, and the conservatives didn't care. They could always look at the racist separatists like us and say, well, we're not like them. We're good, God-fearing Americans. We're not left-wing communists, but we're good, patriotic Americans. And we don't like those racist guys. And we don't like those skinheads and their music either. So that's okay. You can do what you want to them. Muslim advocates with other groups sued to have the whole rule book released without redactions. They argued that the redacted portions couldn't be very sensitive given that the FBI had invited advocacy groups to review portions of the guide at its offices before implementation. But in 2011, a judge disagreed and allowed the redactions to remain. Although portions of the DIOG have been updated since then, the FBI recently posted a new version from 2013, also redacted. The 2011 guide remains the baseline document. Some of the redactions are inconsistent with identical texts covered in one place and not in another. Most of the text beneath the redaction simply spells out designations of authorities and necessary sign-offs for particular activities. Quote, "Now, being able to look at what was redacted, it's hard to understand what the justification would have been," unquote, "for withholding the information." German said, "Other than to prevent having to have a public dialogue about whether these changes to the FBI's authority were appropriate," unquote. Quote, "This is something that the public has a right to know, what policies the government is operating under, particularly when they're using authorities that have both a long history and recent history of abuse," unquote, said German. The general public don't give a shit. They talk about free speech and all that stuff, but they don't like free speech for their enemies. They don't allow any free speech for their enemies. They don't care what they do to you. They don't give a fuck what they do to you. Ask your neighbor, do you think that the Ku Klux Klan should have rights to gather and march and speak and distribute literature? And you watch what they'll say. Or how about the Nazis? The neo-Nazis. No, God damn it. Pick them up. Take them in. Put them in jail. Put them in prison. Fuck that. What about free speech? Well, not for those people, because they're trying to destroy the nation. That's what my preacher's saying. Quote, "Anytime you come across some sort of improper activity, you can't say it's improper unless you know what the rules are for improper," unquote. So that's our little thing on the FBI, and I've got a lot more. We'll share it once in a while with you, but just remember, they're crooks, they're criminals, it's organized crime. It's funny when they're investigating organized crime, when they're as more criminal than the people they're investigating. You know, it'd be different if I hadn't experienced all kinds of this shit in person. But I have, and I have the evidence, and I have the paperwork and everything to show what bastards they are. And they deny it, of course. They're just good boys that love apple pie and motherhood. Yeah. Like Ames. Remember what Ames? He screwed them good. He took the feds for millions of dollars and sold all those secrets to the Ruskies. Oh, wow. Those horrible Ruskies that are trying to screw the United States and take over. We got to get over there and put a bunch of missiles on the border of Russia and get ready to shoot them. Wipe out all those cities in Russia. That's the American way. Well, let's look into Chicago. Dion Stokes was playing a game on his mobile phone early Wednesday when gunfire erupted near his West Side home in Austin neighborhood, in the Austin neighborhood. "I got down," Stokes said. "It's the only reaction I know." A 16-year-old boy and a 19-year-old man were each shot in the leg just before 1:45 a.m., Chicago police said. They were walking in the 800 block of North Parkside Avenue when someone in a red van shot at them. The teen and man were among 11 people shot, one fatally, from Tuesday afternoon to early Wednesday, police said. As officers blocked off part of Parkside, neighbors wearing pajamas peeking out of their windows and others watched police from their front porches. The crime scene was later expanded after additional casings were found on the front lawn of a home. Stokes broadcast the aftermath of the shooting on Facebook Live. "The world needs to see it," he said while holding his phone. His uncle, who did not want to be identified, also heard the gunfire and thought he was dreaming. He watched police from his porch with his neighbors and tried to piece together what happened. "Someone died," a 67-year-old woman asked Stokes' husband. "Uncle?" "I don't know," he said. "Oh, my God," she said. The woman, who also did not want to be identified, said she was in bed when she heard several gunshots. Quote, "I just heard bang, bang, bang," she said. "I didn't dare go to the door. No way," unquote. It was the second time in less than 24 hours that she had heard gunfire outside her house. Wednesday afternoon, she heard another set of gunshots that sounded like they coming from a block west of her home. She is one of several residents on the street who are retired, she said. She feels exasperated by the city's violence. It's getting so violent here in Chicago. That goddamn black Ku Klux Klan is everywhere. Saying she wouldn't mind if federal agents were sent to help police. Bring on the police state! Bring on the police state! You just want to live in peace, she said. They shooting like someone's going out of their mind. About 10:50 p.m. Tuesday on the south side, the fatal shooting happened in the Inglewood neighborhood. A 17-year-old boy was with a 20-year-old man in an alley in 5600 block of South Elizabeth Street when the shooter approached them and opened fire. What the hell were they doing in the middle of the night in an alley? The teen was shot in the chest and the leg. He was taken to Stroger Hospital, where he was pronounced dead at 11:21 p.m. He was identified as Ronnie Smith Jr. in the same block where the shooting took place, according to the Cook County Medical Examiner. Wow. Nobody was in custody in the shooting. Surprise, surprise. Officer and detective searched a stretch of the alley that included about three garages. At the edge of the crime scene, a man who lives around the corner from where the shooting took place stopped by after work to see what happened. Quote, "That's messed up," he said as he smoked his crack cocaine and looked at the crime scene. In other shootings by the black KKK in the West Side's Humboldt Park neighborhood, a 34-year-old man was shot in the leg. They're bad shots, these guys. They better train those black KKK to shoot straighter. I know why they can't hit anything. They try to hold the gun sideways like they do on television. Wednesday, while he was outside in the 2500 block of West Cortez Street, police said the shooter pulled out a gun and fired at him. He was taken to Presbyterian St. Mary and Elizabeth Medical Center, and he was later transferred to Stroger Hospital. About 9:55 p.m. Tuesday on the West Side's Lawndale neighborhood, a 22-year-old man was shot in the right shoulder while he was in the 1500 block of South Lawndale Avenue, police said. His condition was stabilized at Kroger Hospital. He did not give officers additional details about what happened. Well, you know that white Ku Klux Klan, they can shoot straight, but these guys can't shoot straight. On Tuesday, a 21-year-old man sought medical help for a gunshot wound to his hand days after he was shot during an attempted robbery in the South Austin neighborhood, police say it. What is this shooting people in the leg and the arm and the hand shit? Is that some new game those black KKK guys are doing? We got to look into this. Well, they got a Chicago Cardinal who unveils recently a church-led anti-violence campaign. Well, I'll tell you how to cut down violence. Tell them to quit reading that damn Bible. It's so full of violence and pornography, you couldn't believe it. One of the most violent books in the world, the Bible. President Donald Trump has frequently held up Chicago's murders as emblematic of an out-of-control violence in the nation's cities and has blasted Chicago. Oh, Trump. That's terrible. You shouldn't talk about him like that. This guy gets the Black Ku Klux Klan Award for the month, at least. Man charged in quadruple homicide in South Shore. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson announced that Maurice Harris. Further details about Jacob's criminal history were not immediately known. He got four men. Boy, that's going to entitle him to a free McDonald's hamburger. Police have arrested a 19-year-old man in connection with the deadly shooting at a Chicago restaurant. He was pissed off because he got a bad meal that left several people dead. Police said Maurice Harris was taken into custody Tuesday and charged with four counts of first-degree murder. Additional information on the arrested shooting is expected to be released Wednesday in a news conference. They have a lot of news conferences in Chicago to talk about how many people got iced by the black KKK. Last Thursday, a shooter walked into the Nadia Fish and Chicken and opened fire, killing four people, two of whom were brothers. Yeah, stay out of those fish places. Here's the one I like. ICE agents, federal men, shoot Chicago man, admit it was the wrong guy. Ha! 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 Back to the fish restaurant. Police said the bodies of Emmanuel Stokes, 28, and Edwin Davis, 32, were discovered inside the eatery. They found them in the eatery with a bullet in the head. Dylan Jackson, 20, was found dead outside the restaurant, and his 19-year-old brother, Raheem, was discovered slumped against a tree nearby. They must have done something bad. Photos of the boy's mother, Dana Jackson, and the grandmother, Georgia Jackson, crying out in agony at the crime scene went viral. Oh, yeah. People like to look at that kind of stuff. They love violence and death and butchered people. They love it. A shooting that killed a Chicago toddler, a little kid, captured on Facebook Live, and thousands of people went to watch it. Back to the restaurant. Police said Dana, who worked at the restaurant where the shooting occurred, witnessed her sons being gunned down. The grandmother told reporters that Dylan and Raheem had stopped by the food place to visit their mom and get something to eat. Police spokesman Anthony Guglielmi tweeted after the shooting that it was believed to be a gang-related retaliation for another incident. Well, that's possible. That black KKK get around. There's several divisions of it, too. There's A, and there's B, and there's C, and I think they're developing a black KKK section D. It's expanding, man. Oops, I forgot to turn my microphone off. I've gotten so excited over that black KKK and the wonderful work they're doing in Chicago for urban renewal. Yeah. That's about it for me today, boys and girls. I'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully. If the FBI don't come out here and get after my ass. Remember the five words. I have nothing to say, mister. I don't care what you say. Get me a lawyer. Do it now. And to add a little spice to your life, I'm sending you along a picture out of Miami. I don't know whether you can get it all on your screen or not, but one hot weather chick. Yeah.